Okay, we're beginning here on the Mishnah on Yud Bet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, Chavilei Kash, bundles of straw, Vechavilei Itzim, and bundles of wood, Vechavilei Zradim, and bundles of brushwood. As Rashi describes over here, these are items that when they're still moist, that they are used for animal feed, and when they're dried out, they're used as firewood. Ein Mesachachin Behen. All of these items are no good to be used as Chach, Ulan Shei Tiran Sheirot. But if you unbundle them, if you take the binding off of them, then they're fine to use as Schach. And as far as the walls are concerned, there's no demand of the same requirements that we have by schach. By schach, it has to be gedulei karka, and I see davar shenu mekabel tuma. It has to be something that grows from the ground. It's not mekabel tuma. The walls have no such consideration, even though we learn out the din of walls from the word sukkah or sukkot in the Torah. Nevertheless, the walls do not have these same requirements. Schach, which is the ikar sukkah, is the only thing that has these requirements. So I'm Rabbi Yaakov. Shmat mi neid Rabbi Yochanan tarte. I heard from Rabbi Yochanan two things. Chado, ha, I heard this Mishnah, v'idach. As well as the upcoming Mishnah, which is a chuteit begadish. Lasot lu sukkah, inu sukkah. Mishnah later on in the parak, which says that if a person carves into a pile, a large pile of grain, in order to make his sukkah, then it's not a good sukkah. So instead of building the walls and then he putting the roof on top, he has this large pile of straw, grain, whatever it is, and he digs into it, and now he has a sukkah because he has walls around him and a roof on top of them. Both of those are problematic. Our Mishnah, as it says, it's problematic, as well as the Mishnah further on says it's problematic. He said, Chad mishum gezerat otsar, v'chad mishum tasev lo min asui. Says one of the Mishnayot is problematic because of gezerat otsar, a problem of storing or putting into the silo, and that's a gezerah midrabanan. The other one is a problem of tasev lo min asui, which is a problem de oraita, problem in a Torah that one must make the sukkah, do some activity to make the sukkah, and not have the sukkah happen by itself. And I don't know which Mishnah is problematic because of gzera drabanan of otsar, and which Mishnah is problematic because of tasev lo min asui, between this Mishnah and that upcoming Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, next day Anon. Let's try to figure it out on our own. Damar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we have a memra from Rabbi Chiya in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Mipnei ma'amru chavilei kash, v'chavilei etzim, v'chavilei zredim emisachin b'hem. What's the reason behind our Mishnah? Pamim shadam ba min asadeh be'erev, v'chavilato al ktefo. He comes back from the field and he has his bundle on his shoulder. Umale manicha gavi sukato. And then he throws it on top of the sukkah that's there, k'deli yabsha, in order to dry it out. Because that's what you do with the grains and the items that you bring from the field. You have to dry them out. So what's the best place to do that? On the roof. So he has his sukkah there. He throws it onto the roof of the sukkah. Benimlach aleh l'sikuch. And afterwards he says, you know what? I need this for sukkah. So I'm going to leave it up there. That'll be for schach. V'tor amra tasev lo min asui. And then you're going to be faced with the problem of making a sukkah versus it happening. Over here, once you put the bundle up there already, and now you want to make it into a sukkah, you have done no action to change it from its original status of being just a bundle of grain that is being dried up there to something that's made litzel for shade. Because you put it up there with the original intent, not for shade, but simply to dry it out, you can't change that intent now by simply saying that it is chach. So because of that, it's a problem of tasev lo min asui, which is a disqualification min haTorah. So the Rabbi Yirmiyah says, well, based on that, midaha mishum gzera totzar, our Mishnah here, it's clear, is a problem of gzera totzar. Gzera totzar here is that you're going to come from the field, you're going to put it up there to store it, and then afterwards you're going to decide you want to use it for your chach. So ha mishum tasev lo min asui. That means that the other Mishnah of chotet legadish, that he digs a hole in the pile of grain, that's a problem of tasev lo min asui. That's a problem de oraita. Very Rabbi Yaakov. How come Rabbi Yaakov couldn't come to this conclusion? He didn't have this memra from Rabbi Chiya bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, so he didn't have this additional information which would have clarified where Rabbi Yochanan made his statement of gezerat tzar versus tasev lo min asui. Now, Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asks a question, as Rashi says it's towards Rabbi Yaakov, who explains Rabbi Yochanan this way. Says atu chavilei kash v'chavilei etzim mishum gzerat otzar ika mishum tasev lo min asui leka. I don't understand the problem over here of gzerat otzar. You're right. Up front, the problem is gzerat otzar. If you put them up there, then it's a problem of otzar because we're going to put them up there to store there, and we're afraid you're going to leave them there to use for schach. But in the end, the real problem is that it's tasev lo min asui. That's what it's going to come to. The resultant problem from you storing it up there is that you're going to now be in violation of tasev. And that's what's causing the problem for you here, because you have not made the sukkah, you simply had something up there that was already your sukkah. So how can you say that the problem here is gzera totzar and not taseh v'lo min asui? And the other way around too. And the same thing by chotei begadish. Over there, there's only a problem of taseh v'lo min asui, not a problem gzera totzar. What happens if he piled it up in that way because he wanted to store it that way and it was already made into sukkah? You still have that problem, that he's storing it in such a way or making it in such a way that he's not making it for shade. And because of that, it becomes later on a problem with taseh v'lo min ha'asui. So why does one of these mishnayot you say gezerat tutzar and one of these mishnayot you say taseh v'lo min ha'asui when both of these restrictions are relevant to each one of them? Rabbi Yochanan amar lecha, Rabbi Yochanan will respond to you and says, well, the difference really derives from the mishnayot themselves. Hochaktani ein misachachin bahen. Ein misachachin bahen sounds like you shouldn't do it this way, which means lechatchiluhu. You shouldn't do this. But mina Torah would be fine. As Tosafot points out, the girsa should not be here. That if you did it b'diavad, it's fine. It's not fine at all. The din derabbanan says that it's not fine, period. So that means whether it's a chadchila or b'diavad. The only thing we're saying about the chadchila versus b'diavad means that this is a problem midorabbanan. Midoraito, this is fine schach. The problem is that midrabbanan, they restricted it against you using sakh like this because of the possible outcomes. That means that midoraita would have been fine, and that's why the Mishnah phrases this way. On the other hand, hotam diktani eni sukkah, later on, when it says a chotet bagadish, it says that it's eno sukkah. It's not a sukkah whatsoever. It's afilu diyavad, midoraita nami eni sukkah. Eno sukkah means it doesn't work at all. Not the rabbanan, not the oraita. Now, the key difference between them is that when the restriction comes in, derabanan, that says that we're worried about something happening. What we're worried about here is that you put the bundles on top, and then you're going to leave them there to be your sukkah. The truth is that if you unbundle them, or possibly you have to be menaneya them, you have to move them as well, you could rectify the problem and have a perfectly fine sukkah. What the din derabanan says is, you can't do this. So here, be derabanan, even if you put on bundles, l'shem tzel, for schach, or l'shem sukkah, it doesn't work. The derabanan disqualify this type of schach whatsoever. That means whether you do it right or you do it wrong, we don't allow you to do it because we're afraid that even if you do it right, people are going to see that and they're going to do it by just leaving up their bundles that they didn't put up there, the shame cell, and they didn't put up there the shame schach that they put up there to dry. So the gzera derabanan disqualifies completely the possibility of using these bundles, whether you put them up there for the right reason or the wrong reason. Again, they can be rectified by opening them up or by mimenanea them and shaking them, depending on who shita. There is a way to rectify it. So if you rectify it, fine. But if you don't, even if you did it right in the first place, we're not going to allow it to work. That's the din derabanan. Bechotei begadish, the iser is a problem deoraita. And therefore, if you do it right in the first place, then we wouldn't have any problem with that because there's no gzera derabanan over there. There is no gzera. It's only a psul deoraita. So if you built it out of a gadish, you put up the walls and then you put the gadish on top. It looks like a pile of hay, but you built it in such a way that it's kosher the sukkah. You put it up the shem tzel. That would be fine. It would be a good sukkah. There's no gzeirah derabanan over there. How does Rabbi Yochanan know there's a gzeirah derabanan here and not there? Because of the Lashon HaMishnah. The Lashon HaMishnah here indicates that this is no good. Ein misachachin bahem. Don't use them. Now, it means that deraita they're fine, but you can't use them because the rabbanan say don't use them. Over there, Bechotei Begadish, it says no sukkah. No sukkah is because if you either do it this way, you have a psul deoraita. That means if you do it in a different way, you won't have a psul deoraita and there may not be any gzeirah deotzar. So that's the difference between the Isur being an Isur de Rabbanan versus an Isur de Oraita. Tosafot notes over here from the Yushalmi that it's only called Chavilei when it has 25 items in it. That you have a minimum of 25 items, then it's considered to be a bundle. A bundle in the sense that you would store it that way and that'd be part of an Otsar. If it's less than that, then it doesn't come under this Gzera of Otsar because it's just a small item. It's a small item that you put up there. People don't store things in that small quantity, and because of that, it wouldn't be subject to the gzirat otsar. That means that if you put it up there for the right reason, it would be fine. On the other hand, if you put it up for the wrong reason, it's still problematic, because you didn't put it up there, the shum tzel. But it may not be subject to the gzirat otsar, and therefore, if you did it right, it would work. Only the bigger bundles, if you did them even right, would not work because of this gzirat otsar. That's at least what Tosafot quotes from the Yerushalmi.
Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, sichacha b'chitzin zicharim, if you used male arrows, sheira, then it's fine. Pinekevot, if you use female arrows, psula, then it's problematic. Now, the difference between a male and a female arrow is, these are really arrow heads. These arrow heads can be attached to the back of the arrow, the long part of the arrow, by one of two ways. Either the arrow head has a hole in it, and then you insert the remainder of the arrow into that hole. That's what we call a chetz nekeva. That is a female arrowhead. On the other hand, you can have an arrowhead that has a protrusion that comes out of the back of it that inserts into a pipe that is the arrow, the back of the arrow. And in that case, that's called a chetz zechar. So the Gemara says chetz zechar is fine to use for schach. A chetz negeva is not fine to use for schach. The difference being that a chetz zechar is not mekabel tumah because it does not have a beit kibul, does not have a receptacle area in it.
The arrowhead simply has the point, and then it has this protrusion in the end back that allows it to be inserted into the remainder of the arrowhead, but it has no bait kibu, it has no receptacle, therefore it's not mekabel tuma. It's not mekabel tuma, then it can be used for schach. On the other hand, the chetz nekeva has a bait kibu in it, it has a hole in it that you insert the back of the arrow into. Now it's a problem because it is mekabel tuma, and we said before that something that's mekabel tuma cannot be used for schach. The Gemara asks on this, well, first of all, Zecharim Ksheira Pshita. Why would you even have a Havamina that the Zecharim are problematic? There's nothing there that makes them Pasul. They are Talush, they are detached, and they're not Mekabel Tuma. Gemara says, we would have thought, Maudutem Nigzorg Zecharim Atu Nikevot. Maybe we would have said that you can't use male arrowheads because of the possibility of using female arrowheads. Mashmalan, that we don't worry about that. Benikevot Psula. Benikevot, the female arrowheads are Psula Pshita. Again, that's simple. Gemara says, no, again, that receptacle then the end that is going to be filled is not really a receptacle. Because over here, the back of the arrow is going to be inserted into that receptacle in the female arrowhead. So in the end, it's not going to be open, it's going to be filled. And maybe that's not classified as a bait kibul, and it won't be mekabel tuma. Kamash Malan, that we don't say that, that it is considered a bait kibul, and since it's considered a bait kibul, it is mekabel tuma. Tosafot points out here that this is not such a simple conclusion of the Gemara. Because other places in Shas, it seems to be the other way around. That something that is the Meid Lamalot, that when you fill it in, the sheet of the Rabbonon, is that that is actually not a Beit Kibul. And Tosafot leaves it as unresolved as to why the Gemara over here thinks that it's so straightforward that here it should be Mikabel Tuma. But based on this assumption of the Gemara, that's why the Chetz Zachar can be used, and that's why the Chetz Nekeva cannot be used. Amar Rabbi Barchanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Sechachaba Nitzei Pishtan, if he uses flax that has been processed, Rashi says that it's been processed to the point where it's been baked or bleached. And number two is if it's been combed. So it's reached the point where it's baked and bleached. That's far enough along that it's already considered to be an item that could be mekabel tuma. Since it could be mekabel tuma, you cannot use it for schach. On the other hand, behutznei pishtan, when you use pishtan flax in its natural state, then it's no problem because it hasn't been processed yet and it's clearly not mikabel tuma. It is talush since it's detached and not mikabel tuma. Therefore, it's fine to use for schach. But there is this middle area, which is hushne. The hushne atzman en yodea. There's this middle sitting somewhere between flax in its natural state and flax in its processed state. That which sits in the middle, I don't know, number one, mahu, what the din is. Hushne pishtan en yodea mahu. I don't know the din with regard to those items. And I don't know what they are. So then he will go on to explain what they are. What is the hushne? He says, idaik. Is it means that it was pounded, velo nafitz, but not combed yet? That's hushne karile. About chari, velo daik. But if it was soaked and not pounded, then hutsne karile, it's still in its original state. Odimo tari velo daik, or soaked and being pounded, nami hushne karile, that's enough to be considered hushne. Tosafot over here says that he doesn't understand Rashi's interpretation because we know from the Mishnayot in Tarot that it's not the case. When it comes to flax, flax is only mekabel tuma once you spin it. It's not enough to bleach it. It's not enough to bake it and to comb it. You have to actually spin it into thread before it's mekabel tuma. So how can you say over here that this anitze pishtan is being baked, bleached, and combed? So he quotes the Aruch who says that anitze pishtan is not only processed like Rashi says, but it's also been spun into a thread. So that would make more sense here because then that's mekabel tuma. The only problem is that Tosfot says, well, if that's the case, then I don't understand the remainder of the Gemara. The remainder of the Gemara reads better for Rashi. That in-between case is talking about the pounding, it's talking about the combing. It doesn't talk about spinning as being the thing that's left out, as being enough to make it not mekabel tuma. Because then you could have done all the processing, and that still would be the middle stage. So Tosfot takes a middle position here that sits somewhere between Rashi and the Aruch. What he says is, this is right before the process of being spun. It's not spun yet. That's why, if it was spun, for sure it's mekabel tuma. But even a little before it's being spun, he says, Gzeira d'Rabbanan, that is already pasul for schach, even though technically it's not mekabel tuma. Mi d'Rabbanan, they disqualified it because it's too close to being ready to be spun, and therefore they disqualified it. But, like Rashi, you see the remainder of sugya here, it talks about simply whether it was pounded, combed, nothing about spinning, and stuff like that, because there it's clearly, there's no Gzeira d'Rabbanan, it's too far away. Since it's too far away from the process of being finished, there the Rabbanan would have gone gozer. But yes, it's in the middle of processing, but not far enough along that we'd be gozer. And therefore, we would not have, or we have a question, at least whether it's mekabel tuma or not. But where the gzer of the Rabbanan kicks in is when it's right at the stage where it can be spun. And so therefore, you have three opinions here about anitze pishtan, the Aruch who thinks that it means spun, the Tosafot who thinks it means right before the stage of being spun, and said gzer of the Rabbanan, And Rashi, who thinks it's simply being baked, bleached, and combed, but it hasn't reached the point where it's being spun, those are disqualified for being used as schach. Now, the Ehutznei Pishtan, which are in their natural state, those are totally fine to use as schach, because they're not mekabel tumah. Those items that are in the middle of the processing, where they're half processed over there, that's where we have a safek as to whether it's okay to be used or not okay to be used. The Gemara here is going to continue discussing things that are ra'oi for schach and not ra'oi for schach. The Gemara focuses basically on issues of whether it's mekabel tumah or not mekabel tumah, or other things that disqualify it. The Gemara never discusses the issue of why it has to be minutak, that has to be detached from the ground. Mechubar is pasul, but the Gemara never gives the reason why mechubar is pasul. Rashi claims that the reason mechubar is pasul is from the same reason that you have to use psolet yekim and psolet goren. That same pasul teaches you that psolet yekim, psolet goren is obviously detached. Otherwise it wouldn't be in the goren, it wouldn't be in the threshing floor. So because of that, it teaches you both dinim, that number one, it's not mechabel tumah, number two is that it's detached. On the other hand, other Rishonim believe that the reason that mechubar is problematic is because of the problem of tasev, that if you use mechubar, then there's no maisa, you do no action to make the sukkah. So you have a problem of tasev lo min asui because you never did an activity to make the sukkah, and that's the disqualification of mechubar. But again, the Gemara doesn't really focus on that because it's a given that mechubar is problematic. The Gemara only really focuses on other disqualifications. Okay, we'll stop over here.